Open tonight's service with hymn number 24 from your Spiral Gospel Hymns hymn book. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Let's all stand together. Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We love to call you by that name, our Savior Christ Jesus. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the God-man lived for us, which God imputes to us. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our substitute who died, your blood has put away our sin, and we are justified. Jehovah Tsidkenu, your love has won our praise. Trusting your blood and righteousness, we're saved by your free grace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, we stand in you alone. Our only fitness before God is in our Lord, his Son. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Christ Jesus, you alone we call the Lord our righteousness. Please be seated.
If you would turn with me in the Word of God, please, to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'll have to stop saying turn to it. I'll say thumb to it with your finger for some of us now. They've got that. So what's that song? I'm a low-tech man in a high-tech world. Isn't that what they say? Before we read, I want to say sometimes God he humbles us. I think one of the most humbling things that happens to me sometimes is sometimes we'll have like a conference and somebody will come up to me and says, "Well, Michael, how are you?" And I'll say, "I'm great. How are you? Good to see you." And then once again, I said, "Who in the world was that?" But they would tell me about, you know, and then finally they said, "Well, we've been watching you." They watch the services here. And I want to thank Jeff. What a blessing that is. I speak for my own family as we have loved ones that are nowhere near a gospel church. And God has provided a way. And God put it in my heart, and I emailed a person that's been listening for years now. And I sent an email, and, you know, you never know how people are going to react. I said, "But let this person know I've been thinking of you, and we're thankful for you." And, you know, he sent me an email back, and I had to close my office door, because I have to tell you, spurred my heart so how thankful he was that he said, "Oh, I'm so glad to hear from Grace Gospel Church that somebody there." He said, "You don't know what it means to me, you know, the church there." And I said, "We take it for granted, don't we?" these folks, it's their life out there. And how thankful I am that the Lord has provided that. And it was a great blessing to me, because as I wrote him an email, I said, God knows where all of his sheep are at. And in his due time, he's going to bring them into the fold. Even his lost sheep. I said, and we're thankful for you. You're such an encouragement to me. How, you know, I can't imagine that. I would be too easily distracted, I'm afraid. Verse 15, we'll start reading at verse 18. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And in verse 18, he says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. They hated Christ, and they hate Christ's people. Okay. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, when they come to the gospel church and they hear gospel preached, they're going to follow it also. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. This is the unregenerate. If I had not come and spoken unto him, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. That's what the gospel does. It exposes our sin. And that's why men and women, boys and girls hate. They hate Christ and they hate the gospel. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they that had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. I'll say in my short lifetime, men and women and boys and girls that are not followers of Christ still hate Christ, and they hate God the Father, and they hate the gospel. And who's their hatred pointed towards? God's preachers. Those that are faithful to preaching the gospel. They hate them. Now, I grew up in a time, I'll just say this, that in small towns, it was, that hatred was exposed more. They outwardly tried to run those people out of town. My family experienced this. I was a real small boy, and I remember my parents, when they left the largest Southern Baptist church to start going to a gospel church almost 150, 200 miles away. People who had been their friends for life wouldn't even speak to them. And I didn't know it. I was only 4 or 5 years old, but all of a sudden little kids would tell me, I can't play with you. Okay. How come? Because you folks are, you know, they didn't know that you don't go to church. You know, you're 4 or 5. You know, I went to church, but we go. I didn't know the difference. But they hated him. I always laugh about this, and I close, because sometimes you may not know this. We talk about when Brother Henry, you know, you may have not known, he was a Southern Baptist preacher. And then one day, God sent a John the Baptist to Ashland, Kentucky, and Brother Henry heard the gospel. And like he said, God rewrote his Bible. And he said, I started preaching the gospel, and people would come into church with newspapers. And when he started to preach, they'd do this. Why? They hated Christ and they hated the gospel. And I said, well, what is it they hate about the gospel? And this is the best way I can describe it. I heard a man say this many years ago. He says, free will, man-centered religion tells people today that God loves them, Christ died for them, and God wants to save them, and Christ is in their hands, and you can either accept or reject the gospel. He said, what they're offended by, the truth of the gospel is, he says, we are in God's hands, and God's holiness demands that he either save us or he cast us down into the pit of hell. And he said, it's all God's decision, and there's nothing you or I can do to influence that decision. He said, they hate that. Why? Because it robs man. Man wants to be God. And when you're said that there's no, I'm in the hands of God, he'll do with me as he pleases, you'll know something about pleading with Christ, won't you? And fleeing to God and put all your hope in there. We don't enjoy being hated, but we should pray that God keep us and sustain us, because we've said it here, the only reason people don't hate us more here, because they don't know what we believe, and they really don't care. Robert, some of you that's a little older, you'll remember, and I finished this, what's the first thing when you come into a new town and met new people, especially small towns, what's the first thing they always ask you? You got it, yeah. Where do you go to church at? Where is it you go to church? And then you'd hear some, well, as long as you go to a Baptist church, that's okay. Don't matter which one. I grew up in a town like that. Well, Methodist church, nah, that's all right, I guess, a Presbyterian church. But that Catholic church, no, you don't go over there. God, that's no church at all. The truth is, they were all the same. They were all free will works. The only thing different from one to the other was what works you done. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord delivered us out of that, didn't he? Let us pray and pray that God would bless the services. Lord, we've gathered here this evening and we confess to you that we are unable to worship you unless you send your Spirit to us. And we plead with you, God, that you would speak to our hearts this evening, and that you would speak clearly and concisely, and that you alone would be glorified, and that your gospel would be preached. And we pray for all of us, Lord, that you would give us the ability not only just to hear it, but, oh, Lord, give us the faith to believe it. And we pray for all those who are listening but are not present in this building. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness and always you promise that you will save your lost sheep. We thank you for them. We ask these things for your glory. Amen.
Let's all stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 352 from your hardback hymnal. 352, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Let's stand.
Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, oh, receive my soul at last. Other refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave, ah, leave me not alone, still support and comfort me. All my trust on thee is stayed. All my help from thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, cheer the faint, heal the sick, and lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. Thou art full of truth and grace. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. Let the healing streams abound, make and keep me pure within. Thou of life the fountain art, freely let me take of Spring thou up within my heart, rise to all eternity.
Please be seated.
Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis in the beginning. As I was watching the clock at home tick, 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 I thought that thing must be spinning because it's getting closer and closer to 7 o'clock. And your mind's sitting there and you're thinking, Lord, I'm afraid I didn't study enough. I didn't, Lord, I just don't feel prepared enough. Lord, and that awkward feeling, you understand what I'm saying? And you think, well, that's how it is in a work salvation. That's what you live your life. And I'll tell you, I'm not sufficient to stand before you. But it also causes you to say, Lord, if you don't speak, this next time will be in vain. All we are is the sets, we're just a vessel. God has to speak. Like someone said, if all you hear is my voice, you've wasted your time. But if you walk out of here and say, the Lord spoke, then it means something. Tonight I want to talk about a phrase that's in the Bible and appears 28 times. And it says, it's the phrase, thy salvation. Thy salvation. I know the Word of God says, salvation's of the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, most people don't believe that. They just don't believe it. Only the gospel of God's grace in Christ gives Christ all the glory for salvation because he has done all the work. Any other gospel, any of the free will, man-centered gospel, it ultimately will be man's works that saves him. If man does this, God respond by saving him. That's a lie. Thy salvation, we say, Lord, if you don't save me, I won't be saved. But the good news is, Lord, if you save me, it's a perfect salvation. It's something I can go to bed at night and I don't care what happens if I die at night. Lord, just take me. Because you've done all the saving. And I know that you are able to save to the uttermost. I know you have saved to the uttermost. And I want us to look at a few places in the scriptures where you see this term, thy salvation. Thy salvation. Look at verse 1 and 2. And Jacob called unto his sons. This is Jacob of Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. That same Jacob. He called his sons, says, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. I'm going to tell you what God's going to do to you in these last days. Now, I remember one time, you know, Don Fortner, I couldn't understand it. We are in the last days. The last days is between Christ's ascension and his second coming. And I remember he said, well, he's only been gone 2 days. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not the brightest. My pride got out of the way. Well, every day of the Lord's like 1,000 years. You know, I understood. Well, the Lord, it is 2 days. It's just, this time means nothing to God Almighty. He's going to tell them what's going to happen between now and the last days. We're in the last days right today. Gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. And he goes through and he tells all of his sons the different things that's going to happen to them. And some of them are not very good. He says, "This you're going to be cursed," and he tells all the sons. But if you look at verse 18, after it was all said, Jacob told all the things that's going to be happening to his sons. In verse 18, Jacob says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. That's where, see, what does it? I wait upon the Lord. Salvation of the Lord is not a matter of do. That's religion. Religion is do. Gospel is, it's done. We wait on the Lord. I'm not a very patient person. I don't know if you are or not, but we all too often, I don't want to do this waiting. I want to help it along. You know what I'm saying? No. Lord, give me the ability to wait on you. Means the Lord does all the saving. We're actually the object of his salvation, but he does all the work. And we wait on him. And that's what Jacob is saying. God is sovereign. He has ordained every event of this world before the beginning and all the way to the end. He's ordained the next breath I take, whether I take it or not. And we wait on the Lord. I said, I catch myself all too often. When I get in trouble, it's when I try to step in and help the Lord. He doesn't need my help. I need him to give me the faith to wait on the Lord. But you can see here Jacob saying, Lord, if I'm to be saved, you're going to have to do it. Now, one thing, some take this to the extreme, says, well, I'll just sit here. If God saves me. If he don't, he don't. No. The Lord's already commanded you to come. Come. I tell them, plead with God. Plead with God to save you. I speak for me. A day doesn't happen that I don't plead for the salvation of not only of me, but my loved ones. They don't know Christ. Very religious. And they're spending all their time on their workus, trying to establish, as Paul said, they're trying to establish their own self-righteousness rather than submitting to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see it in their eyes. Well, I work. I drive the church bus. I tell you how much money I give. I do this. I do that. And you know what? They have no assurance of salvation. Never has, and they never will. We wait on the Lord. I am so thankful that salvation is of the Lord, and it's his. And he gives it to whom he pleases, when he pleases. And we wait on him. That's why we plead, Lord, if my loved ones are to be saved, you're going to have to save them. Because number one, you're the only one that's able. Because they're not coming. And number two, I know that you're able. I pray you'd be willing. Lord, show us thy salvation. Okay? Look with me, please, to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Write the page down and I can't even find it. There we go. Psalm 13. This is a little psalm. But this is the cry of every believer. And at the cross, this was the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? You ever experienced that? Lord, do you even know I'm here? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Light my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Verse 5, but I have trusted in my works. No, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Thy salvation. And I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Thy salvation. Even the most difficult of times. And we all have trials and tribulations. I promise you that. And Brother Greg said this, and this is my life experience. I'm either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or going into trouble. I'm in that state constantly. It's like a circle. And I'm in that state constantly. I can't speak for you. There's periods when the trouble's not. But the truth is, for us, is that we rest because we know that our salvation of our souls is in the hands of the Lord. He saved me. He done the work. And I am resting not in anything I do. I am resting on everything he has done. And I can't speak. That's a comfort to my soul. I don't know about yours. It's a comfort to my soul. And means we still have heartaches. We still have difficulties. But we know. I think it's in Job. Job said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God always does right. And when I struggle and my unbelief takes its ugly head, which is most of the time, I'm steadily in that, I realize, God, you've always done right. I don't see where this is going. All I see is my immediate circumstances. And give me the ability to rejoice. Not because of my circumstances, rejoice because the Savior of my soul has accomplished. He's thy salvation. He's accomplished my salvation over. Look with me to Psalm 18, please. Turn over a few pages. Starting in verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy. I ask God every day to deliver me from my strong enemy. And guess who my strongest enemy is? You're looking at him. I cry out every day, save me, Lord. Save me from Michael Etheridge. Save me from myself, Lord. I am my worst enemy. Deliver me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. Lord, I can't save myself. I can't keep your law. That's too strong for me, Lord. You're my only hope. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now that's, God has to give me the faith to believe. Why would he delight in me? For Christ's sakes. It's not Michael, it's he delights in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he delights in those who are in Christ. This whole thing about, he's going to talk about righteousness. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. All my righteousness is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason I can say I have clean hands is because I'm in Christ. He's the only one who had clean hands. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments before me, I did not put away his statutes from me. You move down. Let's move to 27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down the high. Looks, that's the self-righteous. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. You know, you hear this phrase, I can do all things through Christ. We heard that, don't we? And that's what people say. You know, I struggle with this. Lord, I don't need your help. I need you to do it for me. I can't do anything, Lord. I see myself more like Moses. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. I don't want to go. For God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. And who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me on high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And my right hand, that's Christ, hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. God's salvation, we have a shield that protects us from all times. It's an advocate. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know whatever events happen to me in my life, they are done through the hand of Christ. You know, we try to teach the young people when they're young, the devil is God's devil. The devil can't do anything unless God permits it. Just like Job, he had asked Job permission to sift Job, didn't he? That's the way it is. The devil is God's devil. And he alone, he shields me. Daily, I have to, like I said, I am my own worst enemy. I can't speak for you, but every day you have to ask, Lord, restrain the evil of my heart and mind. Because if you ever take your hand off me, I think Todd said this last Sunday, that there's no sin that I would not commit. That's why the believer can't feel like they're better than anybody else, because I know the only reason you don't see my face on TV because of my horrendous deeds, it's because God's restrained it. If he leaves me alone, no sin I won't pursue. And I'll pursue it with all my being. But thankfully, the Lord is our shield. He has a restraining grace that keeps his people from plunging headlong into sin. Look with me, please, let's move to Psalm 51. And we will start at verse 8. David, of course, has been plunged under the waters, he said. You ever been plunged under the waters? Lord, I can't take this another day. I just can't take it. Lord, it's too much for me. God has to plunge us under the waters, doesn't he? Cause us to cry out for him. One of the great blessings is, when we say that God is his shield, the minute you and I think that we can do something on our own, God withdraws his, we're still his children, but he'll bring affliction in our life, won't he? Or God hides his face from us for a while, and we'll come out crying, won't we? Oh, Lord, help me. Save me, Lord, save me. David, verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy holy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. First of all, you know, you see David saying, restore. Does that mean David wasn't a believer? That he wasn't a child of God? We all go through periods where we ask, Lord, restore to me. That means to put back the way it was, the joy of thy salvation. Every time we should, Lord, I'm so thankful that you are the Savior and you do all the saving. That the salvation of my soul is not dependent on me in any way, shape, or form, but rest in the hands of the holy and sovereign God. Restore in me the joy of thy salvation. I've made this a happiness comes and goes. Happiness is dependent on our circumstances. You can be driving here and driving to church and everything's good, the sun's shining, the roads are clear, and the traffic, and you have a flat tire. What happened to your happiness? It went right out with that flat tire, didn't it? Joy's not that way. No matter whether Paul said, I be in prison or I be a free man, the Lord's salvation is my joy. It never changes and it never goes away. That's my comfort. That's my comfort to you. I tell you as believers, the Lord's salvation is our joy. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me. Lord, if you don't keep me, I won't be kept. Keep me with thy free spirit. And then verse 13. Then and then only will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Unless you've experienced the Lord's salvation, you'll never be able to tell sinners and transgressors how to be saved. Brother Henry used to always say this, you know, some of us have come out of religion. You know, in religion, they have classes how to witness, don't they? They have books how to witness. I always thought this was good. Brother Henry always said, every believer knows how to witness. He said, all you need to do is you just tell them what the Lord Jesus Christ done for you. That's it. I don't need to woo them with doctrine. I don't need to quote them, you know. Just tell them, this is what the Lord done for me. That's what the blind man did, didn't he? He didn't say, well, let me show you this in the Bible. He said, all I can tell you, I was blind and now I see. That's the end of it. That's with us. All I can tell you was, I was dead. I had no interest in God. Lord's showed me his salvation. And he done all the saving. I didn't do. I was a rebel. You know, we talked about hating God. Did you ever hate God? I will say this to you. If you say no, people would say, no, I've never hated God. That means you still hate him. I came from the womb hating God. Why? Because I wanted to control my own salvation. We'll teach transgressors their ways and they'll be converted. Last one we'll look at is Luke 2. Thy salvation. Luke chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon or Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him all after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What is he saw? The Lord Jesus Christ that brought the Christ. And that's the way we are. We see Christ. We see that our salvation's all in Christ. And he is our salvation. You probably know if you ask a religious person, when was you saved? You ever heard that? Somebody wants to know, when were you saved? Well, most religious people I know, they can tell you, well, it was March the 15th at 1:35 p.m. in Lubbock, Texas, and the Lord saved me right then. What do you mean? Well, that's when I gave my life to the Lord. I mean, that's the common thread, isn't it? Or pick another one. That's when I did this in this religion, or I did this. I was baptized over here in the Catholic Church. All those things. False religion always points people to an experience. And the reason being is they can look back on that experience when they're having doubts of the salvation of their souls. And they say, well, remember when you did that? You did that. You know what I'm saying? You'll never hear a believer talk like that. I'll tell you, if you ask me, when were you saved? I don't know. All I can tell you, I was blind and now I see. I couldn't tell you when. And I don't really care when. All I care about is that I was. That's all that matters. Because I tell people, it takes the same work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save somebody who's been saved for 5 years as it does somebody who's been saved for 50 years. It's all the same. The Lord does all the work. Here. I'd like to close. Because this idea has been on my mind is, well, when were you saved? Somebody asked me, well, when were you saved? You had people ask you that and all the thing. And they don't understand, but I'll say this. And Greg spoke on it too, is I have been saved. I was saved. I am being saved. And I need to be saved. Okay? I need to be saved right now. But it started out that I have been saved. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul is writing to Timothy, said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of love. And it says a sound mind, but that really means a saved mind. The only mind that's sound is a saved mind. Other than that, man is he's not sound. He's a mental case, I guess. Right. Verse 8. But not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, where? In Christ Jesus, before the world began. I was saved in the covenant of grace. Where God covenant, God made a covenant, a promise to God. Now, brother, that's the best kind of covenant there is. That's the only covenant you can rely on. It's God making a promise to God. I can go to sleep at night because I know that's going to happen. Where God the Father out of his own free will and his own, he's the only one that's got a free will. But it's bound even by his character, nature. But God determined to love and to save a people. And he covenanted with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit, where Christ covenant, God covenant with God, that Christ would come and do everything necessary for the salvation of those people. And God the Spirit made a covenant with God that the Spirit would come and he would, as the Bible says, point them to Christ. He would make it effectual. When that happened, every one of God's elect was saved. Is there any chance one of them will fall away? No. Is there any chance that some, well, wait a minute, we need to add this one. No. As I can't remember, he said it's a fixed number, but there's plenty of room. I was saved in the covenant of grace. Look with me to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for everybody. He died for his people, us, the ones that God gave him. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies... You ever an enemy of God? I was. If not, you're still an enemy. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I was saved at Calvary, when the Lord Jesus Christ took on my sins and bore them on the tree, and God's wrath was poured out on him, and God's justice was satisfied. God made a covenant with God. So I have been saved, I was saved, and I am being saved. I'm being saved. Look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71. We'll read this. Verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Never, and let me never be put to confusion. Lord, you keep my mind focused on Christ. Don't let me wander off here, because I'll get confused. Deliver me in thy righteousness. That's a righteousness. And cause me to escape. Incline thine ear to hear me and save me. Lord, I need you to save me. There's not a day goes by. The believer doesn't know, Lord, I need you to save me today. You know, I can't speak to you. I'll speak for me. In my prayer, Lord, if you don't save me, there's nothing I can do to pray for my lost loved ones. You see what I'm saying? That's what he said. Save me, O Lord, and I'll teach others about how you save sinners. Lord, I need you to save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given, see what that? The Lord has given commandment. Commandment to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. From thee have I been holding up from the womb. I was saved in the covenant of grace. I was saved when Christ went to the cross. And God's hand was on me before I was born. And when I came into this world, during his ordained time, his hand was on me all the way. And it is, it'll be on me all the way till the end, when this old flesh dies, and then I be like, come like him, and I'm with him in glory. The Lord has to keep me the whole way. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continued of thee. I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. I bet some of you have been a wonder to me. Have you ever been a wonder to many? What in the world are those folks doing over there to you? Are you crazy? I can't tell. We got some people here. We laughed. They came over here because they was worried about people that started coming here, older couple. And they come over here to save that older couple from this church. And they came in, and Brother Greg preached the gospel. And I'll tell you, they got up in the middle of the first sermon, went to the car, and we ain't going back in there. We ain't going to go back in there. Well, you know, we can't help them if we're not in there. We'll go back in there. What they didn't know, God had brought them here to save them. They thought they was going to save them. God had brought them here to save them. That's what he does. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with honor all day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Lord, keep me to the end. Keep me to the end, Lord. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Some of us in this room can attest to that, can't we? We're there. Lord, keep me to the end. I can't keep myself. Saying, God, for my enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me, O my God. Make haste for my help. Let them be confused and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. We don't make a judgment on who's saved and who's not. God, that's God's business. We're just preach the gospel to them. I will go in the strength of the Lord, God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine and thine only. If you've had God's salvation, you'll give him all the glory. And glad that he gets it, because he's the only one that deserves it. And last, I need to be saved. This old flesh that'll remain with me till I draw my last breath is not getting any better. And it's still with me. I said, I believe the Lord, as you grow in grace, I've got appreciation for them. As you grow in grace to me means that every day the Lord is teaching me more and more about my inability to do anything and more about my need for his ability to do everything. That's what growing in grace means. So I have been saved. I was saved. I'm being saved. And I need to be saved till I draw this last breath and the culmination of thy salvation, when the Lord takes us into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a day we look forward to. I can't tell you what a comfort it is for my salvation to be in the hands of the Lord. That's where I want it. I certainly don't want it in these sinful, wicked hands. I'll close and saying, I thought this was interesting. Like I said, times have changed. I'll say that, because they used to try to run people out of town if they preached the gospel. The preachers and the people. And I remember a story about a man up in Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He was a gospel preacher. There was a gospel church up there, and even in the 50s, you know, they had what we call conferences. They had them back then too. And they wanted to run him out of town. Like they said, it's like they always say, if I can't kill the people, I kill the, you know what you do? You kill the leader. That's what they do in war. Don't you kill the leader first? They wanted to kill the gospel preacher. Well, they legally couldn't do it, but they tried to do everything they can to run him out of town. One day they said he had finally had enough. So he marched into the largest Southern Baptist church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, went into the office where the, and I'll use the term kindly, preacher, pastor was. And of course the secretary says, hey, you can, as he kept walking straight in. He opened the door and he shut it and he locked it. Of course the guy didn't know. He said, listen, he said, I don't mean you any harm, but I'm going to ask you three questions and then I'm going to leave. He said, the first question, did God save you or did you save yourself? And of course the man said, well, God saved me. And he said, question two, did he do it by accident? Did he do it when you made your decision or did he do it on purpose? Oh, no, excuse me. Did he do it by accident or did it on purpose? I said it wrong. And, of course, the man said, well, he did it on purpose. And he said, here's the last question. Did he do it when you made your decision or did he do it before the foundations of the world? Of course, the man didn't answer. He said, now that's what I'm preaching. Leave us alone. And he walked out the door. God saved us in the covenant of grace. He saved us when Christ went to the cross. He's saving us right now, and he will continue to save us all the way until the end. That's when I was saved. And all of it was thy salvation. He did all the work. And that's the only comfort I can have in this world, that I know that to be true. And I know it had nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. And all to do with God. You know, it's sometimes you get, we all have these thoughts. That's our unbelief. But I'm sure we've all, you ever ask yourself, why in the world would God save me? We all have that thought, don't we? The answer to that is, there's no good answer because there's nothing about you that works. You know, merits God's salvation. All you know is because of it was God's goodwill and pleasure. That's why you're saved and I'm saved. And the good news is his goodwill and pleasure can't be thwarted in any way. It's going to come to pass. And it can't be changed because God has made a covenant with God. Okay, Tom, would you close us in a song in prayer, please?
Not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hast thou not chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me hast cleansed and set me free. Of old thou hast ordained me that I should live to thee. Your love had no beginning, no cause in me was found, that you should choose to save me, a sinner strongly bound. But grace not earned or sought for was purpose for my soul, for me salvation. sovereign mercy called me and taught my opening mind. The world had else enthralled me to heavenly glories blind. My heart owns none before thee, for thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing, if I loved thee, thou must have loved me first.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the word that you have shared with us tonight. Lord, we ask that you would return unto us the joy of thy salvation. Lord, grant us mercy and grace. Lord, we're helpless, hopeless sinners without thy salvation. Lord, we're glad that it is thy salvation, Lord, and we ask that you would keep us coming, keep us looking to you. Lord, save us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.